Let's turn to Genesis 15, and I'm going to see if you can multitask. I'm going to read something that you may or may not be familiar with while you're turning there. Genesis 15. So here goes. I want you to tell me if you know where this comes from. Let martial note in triumph float, and liberty extend its mighty hand. A flag appears mid thunderous cheers, the banner of the western land. The emblem of the brave and true, its folds protect no tyrant crew. The red and white and starry blue is freedom's shield and hope. Other nations may deem their flags the best and cheer them with fervid elation, but the flag of the north and south and west is the flag of flags, the flag of freedom's nation. Any takers on where that came from? Okay, give it a shot. No, good guesses, really good guesses. That is the first stanza from John Philip Sousa's song called The Stars and Stripes Forever. So, with yesterday being Independence Day, I thought we would take some time to look at something associated with America, Stars and Stripes. But long before America, guess where you can find Stars and Stripes? In your Bible. So, I'm going to attempt to make some connections at sometime during or at the end with America. I don't think that's going to go real well, but we'll see. Maybe it will. Regardless, we are looking at Stars and Stripes biblically, which is more important. I love America. I live in America. I'm glad I live in America. But biblical things are more important than things associated with our Constitution or our nation. So, in fact, the Bible tells us how a nation goes and how a nation rises and falls. So let's go to Genesis 15 and let's read the first five verses. 3 points tonight. You can probably guess the first two, stars and then stripes. And then there will be a third. I'll get to that at the end. So Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. So a couple things about that verse. That is actually not the first mention of stars. It's the second mention of stars in your Bible. The first mention of stars is Genesis 1, where nonchalantly the Lord, we are told that the Lord made the stars also. As if it was no big deal for him to do it. And guess what? It wasn't any difficult thing for him to make the stars. That's why when you read that, it's so nonchalant. Oh yeah, by the way, he made the stars. Really easy thing for the Lord to do. So the second mention of stars is here. So audience participation. Looking at verse 5 and in context, what are we told that the stars represent in that verse? What is connected with stars? Anybody? The seed of Abraham. You say, how do you know that? Well, he tells Abram, he says, look now toward heaven and tell the stars. And by the way, have you ever been to a bank? Nobody's been to a bank? Okay. Who works at a bank? Who do you go see at the bank most of the time? The teller. You know what the main job of a teller is? Count money. So when you see in your King James Bible there, it says, tell the stars. It's not that you're supposed to talk to the stars and tell them something. Telling can also be counting. A teller is a counter. So when it says tell the stars, the idea there is count. So it says tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Abram's seed would be as numerous as the stars. Have you ever tried to count stars? I haven't tried since I was a little kid. I didn't get very far because you lose count quick, don't you? And there's stars out there that you can't even see with the naked eye. You need a telescope or even beyond what the telescope could show you, there's stars. So the stars represent the seed of Abram. Now, if you notice in the passage, Abram makes a case for having seed already. And he says, it's this Eliezer of Damascus. And the Lord says, no, that's not your seed. You're actually going to have a physical seed. Well, we also know that Abram had two sons. You remember who they were? Ishmael and Isaac. So which of the sons do the stars refer to as far as Abram's seed? Let's let the Bible tell us. I know you could probably tell me, but let's let the Bible do the talking. Go to Genesis 26. Genesis 26. More on stars here. This first thing about stars. Stars are related to the seed of Abraham, but which lineage of Abraham? Let's get that. Genesis 26, verse 1. 26, 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Watch verse 4. This is all about Isaac. Not about Abraham, but about Isaac. I mean, it's connected with Abraham, but specifically Isaac. Verse 4, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Okay, so the seed referring to the stars is specifically to Abraham, and then Isaac, and then it goes on to Jacob and the 12 tribes. Let me show you that. Go to Genesis 32. Genesis 32. Stars are related to, they are a picture of, you could say, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Genesis 32, verse 13. And that's not the verse I wanted there. I got the wrong one here. Let me see if I can back up here. Is it 12? Wow, there we go. Thank you. Genesis 32:12. That's the sand. I don't have the stars there. I thought I had the stars. The seed, if you look at verse 12, it says there, now says, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea. And there's a comparison with the sand and the stars. And I'll just go on to the next one here. Go over to, actually, let me look a little further here, see if this is, maybe I just got the wrong chapter. I don't see it. We'll just go on. Go to Numbers 24. Numbers 24. This will make the connection for us, since we couldn't find that. We'll go to Numbers 24. All right, real interesting passage you want to mark in your Bible if you don't have it marked. This is a really, really important passage. You'll see why. This is the chapter. It's kind of a strange chapter for something so profound to show up in, because this is the chapter where Balaam... Remember Balaam? Balaam is prophesying. And if you know anything about Balaam, he was asked to curse Israel. And interesting that God would use Balaam, of all people, to actually pronounce this prophecy. But that's what the Lord does sometimes. He surprises you. Look at verse 16. I'm in Numbers 24. Go down there to verse 16. This is Balaam coming from the Lord here. He has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. Now watch verse 17. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a... What do you see there? Got a capital S? That's no ordinary star, is it? a star, and notice from where? A star out of, all right, so we had Abraham, Isaac, there's Jacob. So the seed and the stars have some kind of connection. God chose the stars to reveal to Abram and then Isaac and then Jacob what the seed would be. It'd be an innumerable multitude of Israelites. So you ought to see stars are connected with Israelites, the nation of Israel. But more specifically, look what we got in verse 17, a capital S star out of Jacob. Now let's read the rest of the verse. A star out of Jacob and a scepter, notice the capital S there, a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Interesting. Let's keep going. And shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. And Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. Folks, who could that star possibly be referring to? Well, if stars are Israelites, there's one superstar Israelite. What did you say? That Zane, you're preaching them. You're getting ahead of me, man. Yes, you're right. The Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in that verse, I'll show you something really neat. Star, capital S. Scepter, capital S. I'm going to take you to Matthew in a second. What was it that signified the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? A star that the wise men saw in the east. First coming. When he comes back the second time, oh, you better believe he will have a scepter, because who carries scepters around? Kings. Second coming, scepter. So you know what you've got in that verse? You rightly divide that verse there. You have star out of Jacob, first coming of Christ. Scepter shall rise out of Israel. There's the second coming of Christ when he comes back as king. That's a really neat passage right there. So go to Matthew 2. Stars are connected with Israel, but there's one particular star that is more important than all the rest of the stars. And that's the one referred to there in Numbers 24. But let's see what that's all about. Matthew 2. You've read this many times probably. So you want to make sure that you make a note in your Bible about what we see here in Matthew and what we saw in Numbers. Really good to have those cross-references written down if you don't already have them in your Bible. Look at Matthew 2:1. It says there, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his," what? "Star in the east and are come to worship him." What signified the first coming of Christ was that star. Now, who are these men that saw the star? They're the wise men. Maybe not Jewish men, would you say? Very likely Gentiles from the east. And somehow they have access to the scriptures and they know about this star. Now, my best guess would be they had Daniel's prophecy. Guess where Daniel made his way? East from Israel to Babylon. And they probably had Daniel's prophecy about the Messiah. And it's likely they connected that with what we just read in Numbers with the star. And they knew that there was a star that was coming that would be connected with Israel. And they were right on the money, because it's obviously the Lord Jesus Christ. So while stars represent the seed of Israel, one star is more important than all others. Now, have you noticed our world has its favorite stars? That's what we call them. A baseball star, a basketball star, a movie star, a music star. They're important people, aren't they? Thank you, Zane. Guess who's more important than all of those so-called important people? There's one actually really, really important, the most important person. Jesus Christ. So, God the Father has his favorite star, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Now, on your American flag, you have how many stars? Okay, here we go. You didn't know you're getting a history lesson tonight, but you should know this. How many stars? 50 stars. Those stars, each star represents one of the 50 states. Since people, Americans, live in each of the 50 United States, you can kind of make a case for the stars representing Americans from each state, right? Now, you ought to know a little bit about the connection between the United States and the nation of Israel. Did you know that America, for a long time, has been a refuge for Jews? Did you know that? We have welcomed them. I hope we continue to do so. We have welcomed them to America. And then I thought about this. This is not original with me. This came back to my mind after hearing this many years ago. But what is the capital? Well, I got to back up on this. In your Bible, what's the most important city and really the capital city of Israel? Jerusalem. You remember a few years ago, President Trump actually said, we are now recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel instead of, does anybody know what is the recognized capital in many by many people? It's Tel Aviv. By the way, Tel Aviv is in your Bible. It's Tel Aviv in your Bible. I want to say in Ezekiel, maybe? That's in your Bible. It's the city in Israel. But Jerusalem, President Trump said, we're recognizing Jerusalem as the capital. Now, you ever notice this? Spell Jerusalem. J-E-R. USA! L-E-M. You know what's right in the middle of Jerusalem? The United States. Now, that's probably just coincidental. I understand that. I'll tell you what, though. Ought to be a reminder to our United States of America that if we're going to be blessed by God, it has all to do with two things. Number one, our nation and what our nation does with Jesus Christ and how our nation deals with Israel. That's going to determine the course of a nation, has all throughout history. Since the time of Jesus Christ, what a nation does with the gospel of Jesus Christ, what a nation, how a nation treats the Israelites has all to do. You remember, if you're here for Judgment of Nations on Sunday night here some time ago, we talked about tribulation. The judgment of nations has all to do with how nations in the tribulation treat those Jews during the tribulation. So, pretty neat. So, there's stars. Go over to Deuteronomy 25. And there's a whole lot more about stars. I know some of you might be thinking about, I thought stars had connection with angels. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Over there in Revelation 1, you get that. But it also has a connection in your Old Testament with the Israelites. By the way, if you want to go on that angel route, you want to put the two together, Jesus Christ, according, and I left it off here, Zane, so I'm glad you said it. Jesus Christ, according to Revelation 22:16, what is he? The bright and morning star. He says that. That's what he is. So he is connected with a specific star, and the Israelites are connected with a specific star, and in your Bible, angels are connected with stars. By the way, where do you find the Hollywood stars? What city? Los Angeles. You know what that means in English? The Angels. There's a baseball team out there called the Los Angeles Angels. See, the world follows the Bible whether they know it or not. So I say all that because in your Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ makes some special appearances as the angel of the Lord in his pre-incarnate state. It's pretty neat. So you can put all that together with Israelites, the Lord Jesus Christ, and angels. Okay, stripes. Deuteronomy 25. Let's look at stripes in the Bible. What's stripes all about? Take a look at verse 1. If there be a controversy between men, and they come unto judgment, that the judges may judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked. That's good practice, isn't it? Justify the righteous, condemn the wicked. If every judge all across the land did that, be in good shape, wouldn't we? Okay, let's go on. Verse 2. Just had to throw that in there. Verse 2. And it shall be, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face according to his fault by a certain number. Now watch verse 3. 40 stripes he may give him. but not exceed, and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother should seem vile unto thee. Okay, so that mention of stripes is connected with punishment. In this passage, stripes are a punishment for those who violate the law. Specifically in this passage, stripes are for the wicked. You see that? Condemning the wicked, and then it goes on, okay, worthy to be beaten. If a wicked man be worthy to be beaten, he receives stripes, and it gives the number that it cannot be exceeded, which is 40. So stripes are a punishment for the wicked. Okay, go to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. See what else stripes are for. Proverbs 19. And 29, towards the end. Actually, the last verse in the chapter. 19:29. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of who? All right. Deuteronomy told us that stripes are for the wicked. It's a punishment for the wicked. Proverbs tells us that stripes are for fools. Interesting. Okay, so this first point we had tonight was stars. And you saw how we connected the star, specifically a star, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the second point tonight is stripes. And surely we can't connect stripes with Jesus Christ, since he's not wicked, and he's obviously no fool. We can't connect the two, can we? Stripes and Jesus Christ? Or can we? Getting some shakes of the head? Yes. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Let's connect it. Isaiah 53. You probably read this. Now you hopefully you'll see it in a little different context here. Verse 3. 53:3. Whole chapter is a prophecy of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his what? His stripes, we are healed. Hold on a second. This whole chapter is about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're telling me that the Lord Jesus Christ receives stripes? But I thought stripes were for the wicked, evildoers, breakers of the law. I thought stripes are for fools. Jesus Christ is no fool. Folks, how come he received stripes? Let's go over to the New Testament here. Go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Let's see this again about stripes. 1 Peter 2. A few places here in the New Testament to end us up tonight. 1 Peter 2. 21. Start down there towards the end of the chapter. 1 Peter 2. 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. 24. Who his own self bare whose sins? Yeah, make sure you get that, because he had none. Our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Okay. Jesus Christ on the cross became sin so that we might become sinless in the sight of Almighty God. On the cross, Jesus became wicked so that we could become righteous. Consider this one. On the cross, Jesus Christ became a fool so that we could become wise. Now, hold on a second. Jesus Christ was not a sinner, is not a sinner, is not wicked, is not a fool. He is none of those things. I am all those things. Hopefully you can say the same about yourself if you're honest. Now, why is it that he received stripes? He never should have received stripes. You know why he received stripes? He took the punishment. Stripes are a punishment. He took the punishment that all of us right here deserve. Now, he didn't deserve it at all. We, all of us sitting right here tonight and beyond these four walls, we deserve it. But he took it so that we don't have to suffer it when it comes to eternal punishment. Amen to that? So you can connect stars, and specifically one star, to Jesus Christ. You can connect stripes to the punishment, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, paying the price for our sins. And, you know, I just can't have two S's in the message. I got stars and stripes. I got to have a third, right? So the fact that Jesus Christ came the first time and it was signified by a star, and the fact that he took stripes for me and you when he came here the first time, what does that do for me and you today? Well, go over to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. The third S. We'll get this one over here in Hebrews 5. It says over here, 5:8. Hebrews 5:8. As we read these two verses, I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. You can probably identify the third S. Hebrews 5:8 and 9. 5:8 says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So the third S is salvation. Him coming the first time and taking the punishment that we deserve when he came the first time, and obviously rising from the dead and defeating death, provides us with salvation. Notice it says in there, it's a great statement here. It says the author. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ was an author? He sure is, according to verse 8, verse 9 there. It says the author of eternal. I love that word eternal, don't you? It's not temporary, it's eternal. Eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Okay, go over to Acts chapter 4. And I'll tell you a really interesting but sad little thing here that happened at camp after we look at this verse. Acts chapter 4 connected with salvation. Acts chapter 4, and you know the verse, verse 12. Actually, look at verse 11. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he mentions the Lord in verse 10. Jesus Christ in verse 10, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Then he says, verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the name associated with salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one connected with the star, there are numbers, the one who received stripes, though he didn't deserve them. And I'll tell you something that happened just the other day. I asked for prayer for that young man at camp. He's a 14-year-old, a Jewish boy. And this young man used Jesus Christ's name in vain. And I hate hearing it. And anytime anybody, no matter, I'm sure you do, you're the same. You hate hearing that. And, of course, the position I have at camp, I can say something corrective. And it's not looked upon favorably to use God's name in vain, even in the secular world. So I'm totally okay correcting these kids, and I would get the backing of the men above me at camp. So I always use whenever they say that as an opportunity. So this kid used the name of Jesus Christ in vain. And I said, hey, don't be talking about my Savior like that. Response, you ready for this? He's not my Savior. So here's a young man who knows some things about Jesus Christ. And he's of the same seed of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, that Jewish seed. And here it's just, it's the saddest thing that I ever can see at camp, and I've seen it a number of times over the years, where we're not talking about adults, we're talking about boys, outright just don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. And many of the Jewish young men and women, they've been told, yeah, you just put a hand up if anybody talks to you about Jesus Christ, because they're either your secular Jew who knows a thing or two about the Old Testament, but not that much, but they're told to reject Jesus Christ, or they're your Orthodox who knows a lot about the Old Testament and still don't listen to anything about Jesus Christ. So it's really sad to me. So if you pray for that young man, his group is one that I'm taking. He's one of 40 boys I'll be taking to Boston next week. So I know I'll have another chance to have a conversation with him. We'll be on a bus for a while, so pray that I'll get to be seated near him and talk to him. So that saddens me that you have Jewish seed that just outright rejects the name associated, the individual, the person associated with salvation, who took stripes on our behalf. Okay, so let me wrap up with this. We got flags right down here, don't we? All right, stars and stripes. And what color is the American flag? Red, white, and blue. So you probably heard this before, but it's a good reminder this time of year, and anytime you see the flag. When you see the red, white, and blue, you ought to be reminded of the following. The red. These are all connected with salvation, by the way. Red. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin, 1 John 1:7. When you see that red on that flag, be reminded of the price paid on the cross, the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, Isaiah 1:18. So, the red for the blood of Jesus Christ, the white for the cleansing that you have if you've trusted Him as your Savior. What about that blue? What about that? Well, if you're saved, where are you headed one day? Up. What's up there? What color is the sky? It just happens to be blue. So I know that we read the Old Testament sometime, and there's some incredible details that if you read in the Old Testament, you're very inclined to say, I'm just going to skip all this stuff. Don't do that. Little detail you'll find over in Numbers 15. I didn't write the verse down here, but in Numbers 15, we're told about the Israelites. They were told by the Lord to make fringes in the borders of their garments. And they were told to make them blue in color. A ribbon of blue along the fringe of the garment. So whenever they looked down at the fringe of their garment down here, they saw the blue to remind them that they were going, oh yeah, and that's where God dwells, up there. So God made the sky blue so that when we look up, we remember who He is and who we are. And the only way we understand the world we live in is when you actually look at it from a heavenly perspective. Colossians 3, this is where we end up here. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Above. Not just the blue sky, beyond the blue sky. Because beyond the blue sky is where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And isn't it interesting? A flag is not flown on the ground. Where do they put a flag? They put it on a pole. They put it up in the air. So be reminded of that when you look at the flag. The stars, the stripes, the colors. All these things. I know that the founding fathers and Betsy Ross, none of them had any of this in mind that we talked about from the Bible whenever the American flag was constructed and all that good stuff. But isn't it neat how you can look at these things and you can see biblical truths through these things that were made by men? Isn't that neat? So stars, stripes, and salvation. Hopefully you got a thing or two. Hope you out there. And you might want to look up the lyrics on John Philip Sousa, The Stars and Stripes Forever. You might need to get familiar with that. Didn't know that one tonight. Now, if you want to take the time to do that. Pretty interesting stuff. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for just how we can certainly take a look at this time of year where we're thinking about our country, and we can see all kinds of biblical truth and obviously things connected to the Lord Jesus Christ with things that this world esteems, but your word clears things up for us and tells us where to place the emphasis. Help us tonight. Help us this week as we just have opportunities before us to honor and glorify you. Help us to speak up for you. And I want to pray again for this young man, Jake. Just pray we really work on his heart over these next few days and soften it and prepare it to hear truth and receive truth about his soul and about salvation. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.